left off yesterday, we were talking about this halacha of Shmuel Matzah. So we saw that there are really two different themes that could be part of this halacha of Shmuel Matzah. Either there's the idea of Shmur Bechimut, that was expressed simply in the Rishami, that's how we got into the sugya in the first time, it's called Shal. Or the Shmur of Lashem Mitzvah, that seemed to be what the Gemara Pesach of Ches was talking about. We identified him, seems to be Machlekes Rashi and the Rambam. Even within the Das HaRambam, we weren't sure. Maybe the Rambam holds there are two halachas, one halacha. So a lot of things swirling around, or revolving around what exactly Shmir is all about. Then we said there was almost a technical issue that we haven't made directly related to this, is when exactly, not only what is Shmura, but when is Shmura? Is Shmura from the time of Ketzira, Shmura from the time of Lisha? So a lot of different issues that are somewhat unclear concerning the halachas of Shmura, Shmat, and Samatos. We weren't even sure whether this is the Daraisa or the Rabban in the first place. A lot of things that are subject for discussion. So a lot of these issues come to head in a major machlekes rishonim that appears in the Rosh, in the second paragraph of Masechet Pesachim, with some very real potential nafkaminas ladina, which touches not only on the details of Shmura, but it's something that touches on the whole issues of Lishma, because the truth is that really we've been learning the sugya of Lishma a lot. We spoke a lot about Sukkah Lishma in the previous sugya, now we're talking about Matz Lishma, coming up in two sugyas from now is Tzitzis Lishma. So really one of the major themes of the test is the whole notion of Lishma ben Mitzvahs. So some of the things we've been talking about really reach a climax, reach a head in this Rosh and Maseches Pesachim. So the Rosh quotes a Machloikes HaRishonim within the sugya of Beki Matzahs. Find it on Mamekomis. The Rosh of Maseches Pesachim with the Tentative Mamekomis quotes an opinion of the Shiltas. The Vishiltas calls up Lanafik Inishade Chavasai. A person cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Matzah El B'Madale Mechimutz unless one is watching the Matzah from Chimutz Min Denafli Maya Ilavei. From the moment that water touches the grain, so here the Shiltas is describing Shiva Mishas. Most people know about making bread. When does the water touch? Mishas Lisha, okay. So says the Shiltas that if the person who's involved in this process is a goy or a cheshet v'katan, one wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah. Or inami loshal isa nachri cheshet v'katan to lav neshim or inun. Or what if a goy or a cheshet v'katan are the ones who are doing the kneading and they're not considered to be bnei shimur? Even though there's a Jew who does the eventual afia, the baking, so the Shiltas tells us that just because you had the proper shimer done at the time of afia, that is not sufficient. For sure, at least from the moment of Lisha, you have to have shimer. And therefore, in one fell swoop, he says that the children, the goyim, are not in the parish of providing a shimer. And therefore, the matzahs are no good on love of their Haisa. That's the statement of the Shiltas. Again, not that surprising. There comes the Rosh, for Rav Klein Tzedek Zal Kosov, Tzeis Yedei Choyva B'Layil HaRishayna, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah on the first night, Ein Ela B'Matzah She'afo Yisrael L'Shem Matzah, it has to be baked by a Jew, for the purposes of matzah, Shinem U'Shmarat B'Sa Matzah, Zat Shetei Mishumeres L'Shem Matzah. This is almost right out of Rashi's understanding. But now, for Rav Haigon Zal Kosov, Rav Haigon said, Matzah she'afod nochri lifnei Yisrael. If a goy bakes the matzahs and there's a Jew watching, Aydei shima kitikuna, a Jew is watching it properly, muteres Yisrael yoichla, it is permissible for a Jew to eat this matzah. So the Rosh is presenting some kind of a machlokes between the first opinion of the Shiltas and Rav Haigon, and this machlokes goes back, even predates the Rishonim, back before Rashi's days, the Shiltas, Rav Haigon, you're talking about back into the 900s, so very, very early on. Machlekes from the period of the Ge'onim, between the Vaich of Achaigon, wrote Shiltas and Rav Haigon, as to Tachlis Lamaisa, can a goy bake matzah? Can a goy do the work for the matzah for you? If a Jew is standing over, so Rav Haigon presents, if a Jew is standing over, that's okay. And the Shiltas says, no, it's not going to help. A goy is doing the baking, nothing's going to help, nothing's going to solve the problem. What is the Nekudas HaMachlokes between the Shiltas and Rav Haigon? What are they really arguing about? So let's take the approach right now that everybody is assuming there's some kind of a din l'shma that's necessary for fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. If you believe in Rashi, so then for sure there's din l'shma. And it's quite possible, based on yesterday's shiur, even if you believe in the Rambam, and maybe it didn't lishma, that was at least the way the Mishnah Yavetz Limshad in the Rambam, unlike the Meshach Chachma, the Rambam also subscribes to the din of lishma, according to Mishnah Yavetz, the din of Psachim of Lamed Ches, of Matzah, Mishnah Shem Matzah, is in addition to the din of Shem Mechimutz. So it's very, very possible there is a din of lishma on the table here. So we're going to work for now with the assumption that everybody who's talking in this sugya, everyone who's addressing the question, can a goy do the baking, do the kneading, do the baking, have the Jew watch, everyone subscribing to lishma. What would the nekudas ha-machloikis be if that is correct, if that premise is correct? Then what are the shildas of Haigon arguing about? Does this meet the criteria of lishma or not? Is that an acceptable method of lishma? Having a goy do the action and have the Jew, in a sense, supervising. If that is correct, so then this is not the first time that we have bumped into this topic. What do we call this topic? Goy acting, Jew watching? What do we call that? Yisrael Oymen Ogabov. We've already learned that in Maseches Gittin and Daf Chav Gimel. The Gemara already talks about this in another area where we know lishma is necessary, and that's vis-a-vis what? Vis-a-vis get. Remember the Gemara in the Gittin and Daf Chav Gimel. Let's chaz that for a minute. Mishnah says in Maseches Gittin that Hakol Kshecht of Esagen, across the board statement, Hakol Kshecht, everybody can write a get. Who could write a get? A Chayrish can write a get. A Shaita can write a get. A Kotan can write a get. But then, a little bit later on, the Tanoi put the brakes on a Goy writing a get. So on the one hand, Hakol Kshecht of Esagen, but not a Goy. So Frechtik Bar Kasha, how in the world can a Kotan write a get? What's the Gemara's Kasha? Who remembers? Chaza, 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 no? So how lav bin edeya ninu, which translates to mean lav. If you ask that kasha, lav bin edeya, what problem are you highlighting? What does lav bin edeya equal? You're a lav ardas, and therefore you cannot affect lishma. So somehow it's clear for the Gemara, if we can get around that problem of lishma, then everything's hunky-dory. Then we're home free. So before we even go back to the Gemara's question and solution, Olam Ragabav and Goy, and us relates to Haigolim's baking matzahs, I want to stop for a second and go back. Does everyone understand this kasha, the Gemara? Correct the Gemara, kasha, how could you let a child write a get? He can't write a get lishma. Implying that if we can somehow get around that problem of lishma, we're home free. Anyone okay with that? Who's got problems with that? Who's got problems with Gemara's kasha? Who sees the penalty marker down on the Gemara's kasha? If you were sitting in Bavel in the 400s, and you were learning this mission, Mishnah said, a kol kshecht lichtav is a get, the question you would ask is, you can't write lishma. That would be the only thing that would bother you? Nothing else would bother you. Nothing else.
It's not a good though. He doesn't have the mitzvah.
Okay, and therefore?
Forget about the shema. He's not chai.
And therefore? He can't what? I'm still waiting to hear what he can do. So he's under by mitzvah because he came down for the yamud. Okay. Can't be shmizum, maybe.
He can't be
motzi. He's being motzi. I'm writing again. I'm not being motzi anymore.
Can't help someone do a mitzvah that you're not.
I can't help somebody. I can't be motzi you in tishoifa. That you're 100% right. But writing a get for somebody is being made to them in a mitzvah. It's not such a great mitzvah to write a get. Everything you guys are saying is true. What you're saying is you're all right, but there's nothing to do with this. You're right for mitzvahs and you're right for other things. There's nothing to do with this. So if you were sitting and reading this Mishnah, if you were learning sugyas and get and daf chabez, and the Mishnah kazak kakok sheir lichtav saget, the first question out of your mouth would be, v'halav in edan, and they can't write it lishma. Nothing else would bother you. Kinyan, who's making a Kinyan?
Can't create a
Chalos Gittin. Who's creating a Chalos Gittin?
They don't know how to write it yet.
They don't know how to write it yet? We'll give them a calligraphy course. I wouldn't ask any of those questions. Nobody. Oh, now we're talking, right? Who has to write it yet? What does the Torah say? What's the starting point getting? Translate that phrase, please. V'chasav law. And he shall write. This is one of our biggest problems. We've done this every week. We run into these problems. It's called ambiguous. What are they called? I just made up the term. Ambiguous pronouns. Is that a term? Grammar? Good. It's ambiguous. Just made up. V'chasav law. He shall write. Who remembers yesterday we had an ambiguous phrase that led to such chaos in terms of interpreting a pasuk in Chumash? Zeus, Chesachuka Zeus. We know what the Zeus was. When everyone put on film today, when you looked in your Pashtet film, didn't you think it out about those words? Okay, fine. I tell you, Gavalkutus, this Mamash on the side, the Mamash Hashkacha Protus. You know, I don't, some of these stories are cute, but this really happened. I don't know what happened because it happened to me. It was yesterday. I don't like telling over my Salah about other people because half the time, whatever. But this really happened. But you may not think it happened because it didn't happen to you, but I'm telling you. So yesterday, I had to pick up my daughter from, she does some work for her schooling. So I had to meet her and bring her something. So it's one of these, it's called Care One. It's like a nursing home rehabilitation kind of a setup. Not the from, there's one from one in Tina, there's another one, in Paramus, it's not Jewish Bechlal. So I had to meet her and give her some stuff there. So I walk into this building last night at 8 o'clock at night, and I walk in, and it is very recognizably not Jewish environment. In July, sometimes you can't tell, but this time of the year, it's pretty obvious what, somewhere in a little corner, there was something that resembled a menorah, but the overwhelming majority of the view was a little bit of a different aviance. And that wasn't a Jewish place, but okay, fine. I'm sitting and waiting. I'm the only person there. And it turns out I was waiting in the wrong place. There were like two places right next to each other. I was in the wrong building. Okay, I found that out, Tony, I was in the wrong building. The Rebbe Shalom sent me to the wrong building in the middle of this mamish, real non-Jewish environment. And there's one guy who's one of the people who's a permanent patient there, an elderly gentleman who must have been, close to 90, and clearly was not 100% aware of what was going on. He was walking around the lobby, and he walks over to me, and he strikes up conversation with me. And clearly, Rebbe Shalom put me there for that reason. So he says to me, do you do this every day? Do you want to know? It didn't take me that long to figure out what he meant. He said, yeah, I do it every day. He says, there used to be a nice rabbi who would come here once a week, and he would do this for me every day. And he was trying to tell me he was Jewish. And he said, he forgot what the word tefillin was. He said, he would like wrap the tape around. I can't remember the word. What he said, he said, you mean the tefillin? Yeah, hold on. He said, I really missed that rabbi. He said, when I saw you, standing there, you look like a rabbi. So it brought back memories. That's why the Rebbe Hirschel put me there. It's beautiful, beautiful. This way, I never told me, but it was a nice, gave a little bit of Jewish feeling. So when I came home, so I told my wife over the story. So what do you think she said to me? What? Yeah, she said to me, so did you put tefillin on him? So I was with my son, Rachel, who happened to be with me last night or something. So he was with me when the story happened. So I said to my wife, I didn't have my tefillin with me. So my Rachel pipes up, Ima, it was 8 o'clock at night. So that was the Nekudas of Machlaikis, see my wife and my Rachel. That was yesterday Shia. So my wife held that Minat Torah, Lila is man tefillin. So since Lila's is man tefillin, so maybe I thought I should have put on tefillin on him. Maybe the Raisa should have put on. My Yaakov responded here like the Rambam. It could be also glue. Lila's man tefillin, so it would be also to put on tefillin. That was the Nekudas of Machlaikis that took place in our house. Anyway, in case anyone's interested, I got so excited last night for two reasons. First of all, such a gewaldig, beautiful, Hashkacha Prat story. And then number two, it was yesterday, I was really excited. Anyway, okay, so we're still trying to track down. It was obvious there, Chabad Rabbi, he was trying to find him. Who's this? Then Mary Yaakov asked me, he said, Lu Yitzuya would have been there in the daytime, he said. And Lu Yitzuya, that he would have said, are you mechuyev to go run home and get your tefillin to go put him on? I don't know. Meanwhile, at night, whatever it is. Whatever it is, also. Anyway. Okay. Anyway, getting back to that story. So, it all has to do with a vague pronoun. So, here, Torah says, V'chos of law. So, translate that word for you, please. V'chos of law. Who's writing? Ki kachi shisha uvi Allah v'haya im lo sim tzachei b'enav ki matzabayar v'asnavar. Who's the subject of that verse? Who's the guy? The man, the husband. When it says v'chos of law v'nosim biyodo, obviously v'chos of law means the husband. Now, anyone who ever opened up a Maseches Gittin knows that the husband doesn't necessarily write a get. A sefer writes a get. The Mishnah is throughout the Masechta about sefer writing a get. The Mishnah says you have to give it tzivi ba'al. The husband has to appoint the sefer to write a get. So what kind of law is that? How is it that on the one hand the Torah says the husband writes it and the Mishnah is saying that a sefer could write it? What's the obvious answer? It must be based on shlichus. This must be another expression of that principle called shulchan kemoisai. Not all that different than ha'ish makadish bovi shulchai. You can be mafish truma de shlich, you can get a de shlich, you can come pesach de shlich. Kedusha daf memalef. Shulchan kemoisai. So frak taisvis, who has the kasha? by U.S., right? Okay. Frank Taisvis says, I don't understand. What's the Gemara during a Sukkot and ask Akasha? The Kutan, the 10-year-old can't write it Lishma. Forget about writing Lishma. I have a much worse problem. Kutan can't be a Shaliach. Everybody knows the Kutan. That's a Gemara's defense. Shabbat, the Kutan can't be a Shaliach. It's an interesting question. How do you know a Kutan can't be a Shaliach? So it's a big machlokes. We showed why that's true, what the source is. But it's Yaduam the first and the Kolatar Kula that a Kutan can't be a Shaliach. So Frektai Zakasha, why does the Gemara during a Sukkot with Lishma? And the Gemara is going to solve the Lishma problem by doing what? What's going to solve the Lishma problem? By putting where? Putting who? Putting Yisrael Omer Agabov. Frank Tait says, all Yisrael Omer Agabov from today till tomorrow, how's that going to solve the Shlichus problem? That's Taisa's Kasha. That's a Kasha, by say. You know what's Taisa's answer? What's Taisa's Teretz? Who here learned Maseches Gittin with us in the first Talmud's Midrash? Dr. Berman. Remember, does anyone remember Taisa's Teretz?
He's older.
He's a kata. He's chayv to sit in the sukkah with his mother, but he's not a shaliach. Please, shaliach, you can't be shaliach till you're 13 years old, or 12 for a girl. You have to be a gadol or gedola. So what's pshat in the Gemara's kasha? Why is the Gemara drawing us a cup with the wrong topic? Zab tells with Zevin Findor an unbelievable chiddush that v'chos of law you mistranslated. Who has to write again? A person could write again. So kigach ishisha, when a man gets married, the husband gets married to this woman, he doesn't like her anymore. V'chos of law is not translated the husband should write, but rather when a get is written, v'chos of law, say if it agrees, a get should be written by who? By anonymous, by anybody. There's no din of shalichus. There never was, never is. There's no din of shalichus v'ksivus a get. You don't need the parish of shalichus v'ksivus a get. No, what's kasha? Who will get it? If so, why does the Mishnah say that you need Tzivei Habal? Why does the Mishnah say that if a Sofer writes a get on his own, the get's Bakla Mavutol? The famous Mishnahayas of Maseches Gittin, that a get has to be written with Tzivei Habal. If you hold that you need Shlichos, then I understand why you need Tzivei Habal. But if you don't need Shlichos, why do you need Tzivei Habal for? Anyone know what Taisa says? For Lishma. Zach Taisvis, that only a Baal can affect the Lishman. And a get, when a Sefer writes a get, unless he is authorized to do so, he can't do it Lishma. Or he doesn't do it Lishma. So the din of Tzivei Habal is not a din in the Ksivas a get proper. It's not because the Torah says V'chosav and you need to act out Shlichos. The din of Tzivei Habal is to fulfill the condition of Lishma. And Kozman, you know Tzivei Habal, Alpi din is not called Lishma. What's the multi-million-dollar question on that statement? Three letters. Why? Why? I'm a cipher. I know that Reuben wants to divorce his wife, so I'm going to do Shema. No, unless Reuben told me to, it's not called the Shema. Why not? So that's where the Reshivas, that's where the Shir Klolis begin to explain this Tosis. My high, Tosis just identified what the reason is not for Tzivei Habal. It's not a din in Shlichus, because Shlichus, this Tzivei Get doesn't need Shlichus. Tosis identifies a new reason why you need Tzivei Habal, but nobody understands why. So there's not a lot of Torah that Lemis has getting right now. This is just, again, tangential to our topic. So comes the Gemara and says that a katan is a lot b'nei day, or therefore he's not lishma. How in the world can a katan write a get? So what's the Gemara's answer? How did he do it? What? To which the Gemara then asks, Abazo, ihachi, what? Ihachi, what? Akom nami. Comes the Gemara and says, what's the answer? I died to din hafshei v'chulei. Ad kan devar gemara. So at the end of the day, even if the institution of Gadol Omer Agabov works, falls short for a goy, zosh teitmid. So all of a sudden, the rishonim, the ge'onim are now waking up and having a fight about can a goy bake matzahs for you and have you sold Omer Agabov. So the shilta says nein, and Rav Haigon says yeah. Rav Haigon forgot the gemara. Rav Haigon. Kol oter kul tachas yodah. He was the Goyin, he was the Rosh Yeshiva who sat on the Kisya Malchus in Bavel. He was Rosh Yeshiva, Pelag Yeshiva in Bavel. He became a Yeshiva, what age? How old was he? 70 years old. His father was a Shura Goyin, was the Melech, 100 years old, he was the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Haigon became the Yeshiva at the age of 70, the Goyin Shiva Goyinim. And he forgot the Gemara Gittin that every little kid in the Gemara Gittin knows. What's Shadim is Rav Haigon? What do you mean at that? If the Gemara Shteit Pefeir, said, I did the Nafshik of it, how in the world does Beki Matzahs work? with a goy, Beitkin, the Yisrael, or Middle Gabbav. So Rabbi Say, you may very well remember that there's Machlekes of Rishayim about what those words mean, Adayit Din Hashikav. What are the ramifications of Adayit Din Hashikav? Who remembers? We spoke about this not all that long ago. Who remembers? We spoke about this back like 2 sugyas ago.
Rashi Ram.
Nope, let's hear it. Fill me in. What's Machlekes Rashi Ram?
Psychological.
Is it a Metzias Din or is it a Halachic Din? Is it a pre 3 o'clock or post 3 o'clock Din? According to Rashi, what was the magic word that Rashi had 3 letters? What was Rashi's famous word?
Shema.
Rashi says, the guy, he's not really thinking about this, doesn't register with him, he's not paying attention. Lishma, yeah, Rabbi, what did you say, Lishma? Oh, yeah, maybe. It's not his religion, it's not his topic, it's not his language. So therefore, we have to always be nervous. Shema l'kosav lishma. That's Rashi's prayer. And what does the Rambam say? Remember, it's Chazar, what does the Rambam say? The what? He's mufka from Lishma. What was the source that he's mufka from Lishma? Who remembers? What was the source in Rambam? What was the source in Chumash? All the briskas put together this one. No? What was the source in Rambam that he's mufka from Lishma? What did the Rambam say that made us believe he was mufka from Lishma? Please tell back in the world of Reb Chaim and Reb Simcha Zelig and Brisk. This is what the Rav and the Dayan and Brisk spoke about. What did Reb Simcha Zelig tell Reb Chaim? The pages go backwards. Huh? No, what do you got for me? So Chazal told Reb Chaim what? A raya from the Rambam that a goy is mufka from Lishma? A muma. What does the Rambam write? The Rambam writes, just as a goy can't write Lishma, but he saw Lishma Gabbav, so to a mumer can't, because a mumer is dino ke'akom. For Ektor Sim Chazal to Reb Chaim, if Rashi is right, that there's no din that a goy can create Lishma, it's just a mitzias, how in the world did the Rambam know that psychological impediment to Lishma carries over to Yisrael Mumar? To a goy, he was never born with Lishma, he doesn't know what Lishma, he doesn't know the language, that's one thing. Yisrael Mumar, he was a Talmud and the best yeshivas in Europe. He's a great Talmud Chacham, and now he became a Mishumad. So he can't register. He remembers from the old days, he probably knows the Gemara's in Gittin better than most of us here. He remembers the Tosef in Gittin. He knows the Rav Gaon and Pesachim. He knows why can't he do things in Lishma? So says Rav Simcha Zelig to Reb Chaim, down from this Rambam that not being able to do the Shema is not a psychological block. It's a halachic impediment. It's a halachic obstacle. So once that halachic kicks in and says that a mumer is dinak akum, a pidin can't create a lishma. That was a famous vart from Reb Chaim. Who remembers what the Rav added on? This is, remember I told you, we're learning this sugya in light of all the other sugyas. This is one big sugya. The second half of the semester was called the sugya of lishma. So no, what was the Rav's vart? What was the mokra for this din? That a goy is mufka from the Shema? Menani Mili. Where did it come from? Kanvach wasn't the Bokor. Kshartim Muxaftam. Remember Taisus Kasha? Taisus the Kasha. What do you need Kshartim Muxaftam to be Maita Goy? Typically, that he can't create Lishma. Because anyway, to which Reb Chaim would respond, that's the Mokor. That's good for the Mokor, that a Goy can't create Lishma. Not because he doesn't want to, not because he has a psychological block in Shema, but because Apidin he can't, because Kshartim Muxaftam teaches me that the creation of Lishma presupposes your mechur b'dover. So we already know that there's machlekes in Rishonim about what a daita d'nafshit means. We already know we have 2 different tracks of Rashi, Mitzias, and the Rambam, Halach. Do we know any nafkaminas between the two? Can we give any real nafkaminas between Rashi and Rambam? I mean, it's cute, it's nice, but at the end of the day, is it get good? Can the day get written by a guy supervised by a Jew? Is it good? No good. What's the answer? No good. So what's the difference? Who cares? What do you mean after me? Okay, yeah, that was like a wild after me, right, Reb Kivega? Yeah, you're right, Reb Kivega, the guy converts. You have to finish his round to get he jumps into the mikvah. Yeah, only Reb Kivega can think of that. We have enough good sense. Is it if he's a kohen, if the husband's a kohen, can he remain with his wife? According to Rashi, it's only a suffix, that's no good. According to Rambam, it's a vadi, no good. Those are like wild, you know, off the beaten path. The chayra, there should be another nafkamina. According to the Rambam, this is an absolute statement. It's a halachic statement. It knows no exceptions. A goy just simply cannot create lishma because the mitzvah doesn't speak to him. There's no ands, ifs, and buts. According to Rashi, it's potentially limited in scope. Because according to Rashi, who's paskining the goy can't write the Shema? It's not the rabbi. It's who? The psychologist. Right? It's the, I don't know, who else would make this decision? Who else would assess this? I would call the psychologist. So according to the Rambam, it's the rabbi who's making the call. According to Rashi, it's the doctor making the call. If the psychologist would come in and say this, you know, you're right. A guy really, really can't pull off this shema and get in because it's just too complicated for him. He can't process this. But what if we would have another kind of a case that also requires the shema that would be a little bit easier for the guy to handle? That maybe he doesn't have to be so sophisticated to understand. Maybe it's just a simpler, more elementary kind of a lishma that maybe psychologically we can register that he's okay with, that he can accomplish. Could we possibly make a statement that maybe the girl would be good for that? Now again, we're not arguing with Chazal's assessment. Chazal was the greatest psychologist. So they assessed that for a, according to Rashi, for a get, it's not going to work. Because Shema lo gama, we don't know. Chazal weren't convinced. Rashi gives up Shema. So we're not arguing with the mindset of Gittin. What if I find you another area of halacha where I'm not so sure that the psychological assessment is correct? Maybe the goy can handle such a thing. So according to the Ram, that's like off the charts. Don't even talk to me, says the Ram. Don't even talk to me, says Zub Chazal, says Reb Chaim. I don't even want to talk about it because this is not a psychological issue. It's a halachic issue, so it knows no bounds. But according to Rashi, I'm up for discussion. I'm ready to talk. Anyone know what I'm talking about? What am I referring to? What am I referring to? A few possibilities. So, cut the rush. In Hilchos Sefer Torah, and quote from Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch, Sefer HaTruma, Rabbeinu Baruch. Remember, he was a very popular person in the Sugyas of Lishma. Remember what he was responsible for, Rabbeinu Baruch? What did he bring us? He brought the issue of Lishma being Diba versus Machshav. He's the one who drew the equation to Pigol. So Rabbeinu Baruch was a major. He liked to say Shirum of Lishma. He must have sat in Sukkot HaTes for a long time. So the Rush quotes from Rabbeinu Baruch the following Shaila. The 11th Imam occurs. The cause of Rabbeinu Baruch tells, if a goy is doing the Ibar Ha'or for a Sefer Torah, now remember we spoke about this a little bit. Ibar Ha'or is necessary. You can't just write a Sefer Torah. You can't just check an animal and just pull off the skin and start writing. You have to process the skin first. That's called Ibar. It requires Ibar Min HaTorah. And we assume the Ibar has to be done the Shema, and we assume that's also Min HaTorah. That's the starting point of our discussion, that any Sefer Torah has to be the Shema. It's interesting because the Gemara never tells us the source if it has to be Lishma. Every time we find the mitzvah Lishma, there's a pasuk in Chumash for it. Gedilim Tasalacha, Vishamas Charasukas Tasala, Vichasav Lo Lishma. But Sefer Torah is strange because there are sugyas in the Gemara that talk about it, that Sefer Torah has to be Lishma, the writing has to be Lishma, the Ibadah, everything has to be Lishma. And the Gemara never spells out where it came from. So some Rishonim guess, you have to kiss for Lachemas Hashir Azos, maybe there is such kind of a drasha that's kind of in the back, you know, backwoods somewhere. Hopefully we're going to get to this a little bit later on. We get to the sugya of tzitzis. 2 sugyas from now, they'll come back to this. But we're working with the assumption now that Ibar Or requires Lishma, Midaraisa. The sugya seems to be, says that Masech is Gittin. Rabbeinu Baruch deals with the following question. What if the Ibar is done by a goy? The Yisrael Omer Agabav, but the Jew is watching over. Umesayo, the Jew is helping a drop, but not really. So comes the Rosh and says, in the name of Rabbeinu Baruch, the Ibar Kichavim, Ovid adaited Yisrael tvei mikusi. A kusi, don't let a kusi do the job for you. If you assume you're in a box living in Europe, there aren't too many kusim floating around. It says don't hire a kusi to do the job. Why? Because the kusi amar anagamina tvei minach. The kusi is going to say to you, don't tell me what to do. I'm more religious. I'm more Jewish than you are. I know the halacha is right. I know what Pesach is. I know how to keep religion better than you. So don't tell me what to do. So the kusi is not good. I'm talking about a nice, fine non-Jew, Rabbeinu Baruch's neighbor. So Rabbeinu Baruch turns to his Goyishan neighbor and he says, do me a favor. You're a tanner, you work in animal skins. Listen to the kach. Put the animal skins in a solution to do the ibud, to soften up the skins to work. Do the ibud. And I'm going to stand over you and I'm going to tell you, do it lishma. So the non-Jew says, of course, Rabbi, no problem. My pleasure to help you out. Okay, so the Rebbeinu Baruch standing there, the guy standing there, the guy's putting it in, and the Rebbeinu Baruch saying, "Say l'shem mitzvahs ibu l'shem kedusha sefer Torah." He says l'shem the holiness of a Torah scroll, and he puts it in. So Rebbeinu Baruch says, "That's okay. We'll sanction that. That's okay." So then Rebbeinu Baruch asks the kasha on himself. Third line. V'yafal gav the b'ksivas to get the minav k'chametayt in nafshikar, but I had the gemara sit the feirish and getting it doesn't work. And it's for this reason that the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin Taka says it's no good in the case of Rebbeinu Baruch. For Rambam zaper gav because Tefillin pasuk im ibdon evikichav im psulim afa pisha amelo la'aved or zeh l'shem sefetol l'shem Tefillin shev k'chametayt atzmo oisiv lo dasa secher yasei. Says Rebbeinu Baruch, says the Rosh, I can see that I'm against the Rambam, and not only against the Rambam, I seem to be against what? To be against the Rambam is not so bad. To be against what? It's the Gemara. The Gemara says Pemol and Beksiva said, yeah, that Akbar died in Avshikovit. Zok the Rosh, Rebbeinu Baruch still said what he said. The Nogro Am Kemashikos Rebbeinu Baruch. The Minigro Oilem is like Rebbeinu Baruch. And listen to this. Why is the Minigro Oilem to be so makil? Because there are no Jewish tanners. So therefore the oil is not like Rebbeinu Baruch. Now someone who's not too observant will read this Rosh, and what will they say? Aha! Wow, what will they say? See, the lights went off. Sounds what? When there's a what? When there's a will, there's a way, you know, all kind of, you know, these fancy slogans about the progressive Judaism. The Halakha Rosh said, well, the reason why we make it is because we don't have workers around to do it. From the next line of the Rosh. That's most of the times when people say things that are foolish. If something sounds to you like it's off base, the reason why it sounds that way is usually because it's off base. So usually if you read the next line, you'll get to the punchline. So if you just stop the Rosh at this point, you would think that Rosh just said something that's tantamount almost to topic curses. Then the Rosh explains to you what he means. The Rosh says, the Olam is not like Rebbeinu Baruch. V'chein adas machras, says the Rosh, because Rebbeinu Baruch's right. The reason why Rebbeinu Baruch said what he said was not because there's no Jews around to do the tanning process, and therefore we're going to make up a kula yesh mehayin. Not because we have some kind of a sociological economic need, and therefore we're going to fudge the halacha. Chalila v'chalila. That's kfir, that's apikorsis. That doesn't smack of apikorsis, it's not on the board of apikorsis, it's apikorsis mamish. What the din is, what learning and passing shilas means is, sometimes there's a shasar chak, there's a big, big need that comes up, which forces us to reevaluate a sugya and come up with some creative solution that we wouldn't have come up beforehand. That's exactly what the Rosh Rebbeinu Baruch did. That Kozman, you had Jewish tanners, you had Jewish workers. What do you have to call the next generation neighbor to do it for? Just to do it the way you've been doing it for the last 3,000 years. Have the rabbi with the long white beard throw the skin into the solution. Well, we can't do that anymore. Why? Because we don't have any Jews who know how to do that. What's the big deal? You can't figure out how to throw some skin into a solution? Anyone know why? Anyone know why? Why was the Russian Rebbeinu Baruch having such trouble? Anyone know why, historically? Well, the Jews weren't allowed to. Anyone knows that? What was that called? There was a system in Europe that unless you were part of that craft, you weren't allowed to. It was a guild system. So the guilds, the craft, the tanners were the tanner's guild. So if you thought you're going to break the union of the Tanya's Guild, they're going to throw you into the solution. So the Rosh says, Ein Yisroel Metzuya. Jews weren't allowed to be tanners. They weren't allowed to be shoemakers. They weren't allowed to be anything. They weren't allowed to own land. They weren't allowed to work. So they have two choices. Either they become money lenders, that the Goyim let them do, because the Goyim needed somebody to be the dirty work for them, or they could sit in kol. But the problem is, it doesn't pay sitting in kol. So someone's going to be money lenders. So Rabbi Natan, the money lender, and supported all the Talmidim who were sitting in kol. So even Ben Atam was also learning on the side, more than on the side. So Rabbi Sai. So comes the Rosh and says, the Olam in Europe is Noyeg like Rebbeinu Baruch. The Chayna Das Machras. Rebbeinu Baruch makes a lot of sense. Why does Rebbeinu Baruch make sense? Listen to this svar. The beget the ba'inan shechtav kol tayr faget l'shma v'zel yaseh v'kicham. A get is very, very complicated. You have to write the entire tayr. Tayr is the main part of the get with the names and the time. The main throughout the toface is the form. That's the standard in every get. The turf is the part that really, really matters. It takes a while to write that. To ask a guy to write the Shema for all the names and all the dates and all everything, he's not going to do that. He can't process that. Kishiyasim ha'or b'sechasid. Shiyem ha'azani yaseh l'shem sefer Torah. Ha'az yaseh v'kicham l'das yisro k'sha'omu lo aseh kach. How long does it take to do ibud? How long? I mean, it takes a while. It takes longer probably for the ibud to happen, but that's happening passively. How long is the ma'isa ha'odam in ibud? About a second. It means taking a piece of animal skin and plopping it into a solution of salt and all that kind of stuff, which is eventually, after the day, is going to soften it. The amount of human input into ibud l'shma is approximately 1 second. The amount of human input into ksivas haget is about 15 minutes. And says Rabbeinu Baruch Hu Rosh, that's where get and sefer Torah part is. Nowhere do Chazal say that a goy can never, ever, ever create l'shma. All Chazal said was, a goy can't do l'shma haget. You know why? Says Rabbeinu Baruch. You know why Shema lost l'shma? What is the obstacle? What's the psychological impediment? That's too long. He can't hold cup for so long. He's not paying attention. He doesn't take this so seriously. That's what the Gemara means in getting off of him. Which opens up the possibility that if it's something that takes a very, very short amount of time, the goy can hold cup. That will be acceptable. Gol Omer Gava will work. Yisrael Omer Gava will work. And now Rabbi said, you tell me, why did the Rambam never say that? What did the Rambam state in Perek Avruchos Tefillin? The Rambam said befeirish that Gol Omer Gava is not going to work. Why? The Rambam holds a din. It's a halacha. What are you telling me psychology for? The Rambam says, you're learning the wrong sugya. So it comes out that according to Rashi, who says it's Metzias, we're opening up the possibility for Rabbeinu Baruch, the Rosh, the things that take a very small amount of time, such as Ibud, maybe a goy can pull off. According to the Rambam, who says it's halacha, forget it. Forget it. It's never going to work. Not at all. I'm going to tell you the Sefer Torah apostle. The Rosh writes that in Eastern Europe, so we had the guilds. The Rambam didn't have the guild system. The Rambam didn't have to look into the shit. The Rambam held it word of war. The Rambam would say, you got to come with another creative solution. The Rosh says, we paskin against the Rambam. We paskin like Arabeim, like Rakhman, Baruch, Rosh, Ashkenazi, Rishonim, that this is acceptable, because the girl, Omer Gabov, the Chisorim is only B'tarish Mitzvahs. So he's taking the famous sheet. But you know what? The Rosh is still not convinced that he's right. It's a nice svara. It's an interesting chiluk, but you need much more teeth to it than just to say a svara. Not every svara that you say is necessarily going to pass the shilas on. So we have to have a raya from a gemara that Chazal themselves subscribe to this chiluk. That's what the Rosh is challenging us now to do. So the Rosh takes himself up to the challenge, rises to the challenge, and comes up with the gemara. Comes the Rosh and continues. The chayetzi b'zeh matziri b'prek eim amidin. It's a gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Rabbi Yehuda boy milu l'shma, afilu achi yima levi kichav ve'al yima kusi. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah quotes a machlekes that Tanoim, when you do a bris, does the bris really have to be done the shame bris? Well, what if it's done for medical reasons, other reasons? It's not done the shame bris. So we have in the past that you don't need the shame bris. Sometimes it was done for medical reasons, it was done too early, it was done by someone as possible. There may be other technical problems. But the fact that it was not done the Shema, that in and of itself doesn't bother us. But Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi disagreed. Rabbi Yehuda says that it has to be mamish, 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 l'shem, mila. And if not, the whole mila is no good. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what if you have two people, two available moilim here? One is a kusi and one is a goy. So Rabbi Yehuda says, don't let the kusi do it for you. You know why? Because the kusi does it, what's he going to be doing at l'shem, what? Hagrizim. So he's doing it for another religion. He's not doing it for the bris of Avraham Avinu, for Mitzvah Torah. He's doing it for some Mishagasim, Hagrizim. Who knows what he's thinking about. So the Kusi, forget about him. I'd rather take the Goy. Take a Goy, just plain and simple, next to a neighbor, a Goyish next to a neighbor, and have him do the bris. He's not doing it Lishma. What's the answer? No, he's doing it Lishma. How's he doing Lishma? This is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how can Yimol Akum? What happened to Lishma? What's the answer? It must be. Must be doing it based on your soul of God. But the Gemara doesn't say that, but the Rosh says, well, that must be the answer. If the Hatana Rabbi Yehuda holds, you need to lishma mid the Raisa, to get shalom, a meal shalom lishma is not chal min haTorah, the meal is possible min haTorah. How can Rabbi Yehuda accept the goy to do it, be a mohel? So it must be, we have other issues. We have the fasting goy can be a mohel for other reasons, but not for now. But Rabbi Yehuda accepts a goy to be a mohel, even though he's not doing lishma, the answer is he is doing it lishma, must be Yisrael Gomer Agab. Frek the Rosh, how could that be so? We don't say the guy is doing it on his own for his own reason. What's the answer? How long does it take to do a bris, everybody say? Answer from a Katzenstein. How long does it take to do a bris? Okay. Came in the Bereganah says Vadi Oisel Das Meshishol Omeloi. Says the Rosh, they have a raya brewer from the sugi of Mila, from a shita we don't pass. Like, imagine if the Gemara wouldn't have discussed would be the shita, we wouldn't know what the din is. Baruch Hashem, Eilu Eilu, we invoke the principle within the view of Rabbi Yehuda. The Heilige Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who requires Mila Lishman, still accepts a goy to be a male. Zem Fendor says the Rosh, but that's called the Shema. This is difficult because it's a short time. And therefore, the Rosh extrapolates from here to Ibn Or. This is all part of Rashi's theory of Mitzvahs. And when it's a short amount of time, we can swallow that. A goy can't pull off the stunt psychologically, he'll pass the test of doing things lishma. I can't devir Rosh. Of course, which great Rishon here has to answer this challenge? The Rambam. Because according to the Rambam, what the Rosh and Rabbeinu Baruch is saying is absolutely not even on the radar screen. According to the Shittas of Rambam, with Reb Chaim, with Simcha Zelig, with the Ravs, with the whole brisket picture that emerges from Shittas of Rambam, that it's a halacha, and there are no exceptions to the rule, so how will the Rambam address the Gemara of Avodah Zarah? Again, halacha, we don't really care, because we don't pass a review anyway, but within the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda, we have to answer this question. So how will we address this question? According to Shittas Rambam. So what's the answer, by saying? What's the answer? So I put in the Rambam premise. But Taisus and Masechus Avodah Zarah. Where Taisus asks this kasha. Taisus asks this very kasha. And guess what? Does not give the Rosh's answer. Correct, Taisus in the 12th of Rambam premise. All the Rishonim in Europe have all of this. The Rosh, Rabbeinu Baruch, about Ittas, with Rambam, everyone is tumbling with this kasha. 12th of Mamakainis, Hokamash, but we have Yuda Afagav, the boy Mil Lishma, Maskin, the Mashal, we have Kichab, the Tame of Rectoises, Tame is a very stark in Kasha. Maish no me get, the bit in Lishma, Pastinic Sivas of Kicham beget, Jim Dovicham died in Afshigovi. The Yesh Loim as a Tesis, the Loy Dummy, the Oilam of Kichavim stomach of it, Gabi Mila the stomach of Shma Koi, calls man Shaino Oisil the Shame Hagrizim. In came by the kicham the stomach of it shera. If I get isha stomach lav lishma, the stam isha lav legerish in medes, we get by the kicham possible. What did Taisa just say? Everybody say. What did Taisa just say? My man shtana get from mila. So the Rosh said get from mila is very very different because one takes a long time, one takes a short time. But the Rambam, who doesn't accept this, the Rambam, who doesn't accept Ibn Or, even though it's short, the Rambam who holds that it's halacha, would never ever dream of accepting short time effect done by a goy. So according to the Rambam, Tema, what's the difference between Mila and Get? If it doesn't work for Get, and it doesn't work for Ibud, it never ever works, so why does it work for Mila? What's the answer, says Taisus? You come back to something, remember I told you, this is going to bring back memories from not all that long ago. What sugi do we pull out of a hat, Rabbi Say? A little chazara? The sugi called. Remember that sugi? Did we spend a little bit of time on that? Mr. Rubs, ring a bell? Stama lishma. Says Taisus, anytime you want to know, can a goy affect lishma or not? The real question you have to ask yourself is, well, do you really need lishma? Do you really truly need lishma or not? So if it's something that is stama lishma, you don't need lishma in the first place. If it's not stama lishma, then you have problems. So Seth tells us a very simple solution. Is it get stama lishma? What does the Gemara say? Where does the Gemara say it not? Where does it say get stama lishma? Ibn Or lishma. It's the only thing people use animal skins for to write Sefer Torah, Halavai. People write a lot of other Narish guide than animal skins. So animal skins, Ibn Or is not stama lishma. So these types of activities require a formal lishma, and therefore a goy falls short. Achmed Hayat and Afshikov can't do it. Mila, every Jewish baby that is born is supposed to get a bris, and is going to get a bris, and will get a bris presumed for the right reasons. Every mila is a stumble lishma I made. Maybe in America, you know, many babies, maybe non-Jewish babies get bris. In Europe, In the days of the Tanoim, it was unheard of. If you're not Jewish, you're not getting a bris. Unless you're from the Bnei Shmehilim, you're not getting a bris. So bris is Aymed the Kach. It's Tamil Shema Aymed. And therefore, for a goy, that's sufficient. So Zok Toysvis, and Mestoma Zok the Rambam, that the answer to the dilemma as to Manishtan and Mila in the world of Rabbi Yehuda from get for everybody has nothing to do with short versus long. That's what Ben Baruch and the Rush and Rashi talking. In the world of the Rambam, that's unheard of, says Taisus. So Taisus of the Zohar is more in sync with the Rambam than he is with the Rashi, with Ben Baruch, with the rest of the Achachmei Ashkenaz. This Taisus in Masechet of the Zohar is much more campy. So that's the answer to the dilemma. Oh, so you want to know, so why, MK, Dr. Berman is asking a bomb kasha, so then, why do you even need Omer al-Gabov? What's the answer? Who says you do? Right? Who says you do? So basically, just before we get back to the matzah story. Yeah, I mean, this answer would have been good for Rashi. Rashi didn't say, I mean, Rashi wouldn't know what Rashi personally said. You're asking, now you're turning around and Rabbeinu Baruch and the Rambam, the Rabbeinu Baruch and the Rosh, and saying, how could you be Medayik for that Gemara of Avodah Zarah? Isn't this answer so pashut? Yeah. That's your kasha. So you turned the tables on me, right? I gave you the Rosh's teretz, and you thought that was a great teretz. And then I said, what did the Rambam do? I gave you such a great teretz in the Rambam, now you turn around, how come the Rosh and Rabbeinu Baruch and think of that? We're getting there. Hang in there. Rabbi say, whose wheels are turning? Remember, what are we learning these last 3 weeks? The sugya maseches l'shma. Do we like what Tosfos Avodah Zarah just said? Are we comfortable with what Tosfos Avodah Zarah just said? Think it through, Rabbi. Say, Tosfos Avodah Zarah just invoked the principle of stumble l'shma, which they got right out of where? What mechel they stumble l'shma right of? Where they borrow this concept of stumble l'shma from? Tzvachim Tabeis. And just gave an example of a stumble shema called Mila, and since it's stumble shema, therefore we can have a done idea going. What do you guys think about that? You okay with that? Start those wheels turning. You're correct. The other Rishonim didn't like what Tosfos said. What's the problem? For other reasons, not because I'm not l'shma. If I would come to you and I'd say at 2:05 on a Wednesday, I'd say, guess what? Tzvachim Dabeis, a stumble l'shma, can be helpful in having a goy do something. What should your initial reaction be? I just made an equation that stumble l'shma helps for goyim. You have to ask me, wait a second, Rabbi, explain to me how that process works. Which process? Explain to me the mechanics of what? A stumble l'shma. So your mind should start turning, wheels should start turning. What does stumble l'shma mean? Who remembers? Is it what or is it what? Is stumble l'shma mean that, what? That, well, you're connecting it to the next shayla already. Just stumble l'shma. What does stumble l'shma mean? Does stumble l'shma mean that, what do you mean, gav v'cheftza? Means stumble l'shma means that you really are thinking it. Usually you have to express it, you have to say it, you have to think it, you have to really go through the motions, but if it's a stumble l'shma, so in the deep recess of your psychology, we assume you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's one side in stumble l'shma. What's the other side of stumble l'shma? That the chavtza does for itself. The chavtza accomplishes it itself. Not the gav, but the cheftz accomplishes it for itself. It's a different track of creating the shema. The shema is either created by the ma'isa gavra, the gavra endows with the shema, or the cheftz speaks for itself. We got to do them before some we spoke about the arichos two sugis before. No, it's connected. That's what everybody said. Taisus and Avodah Zarah just told me that when you have a stumble the shema, then we're fine with having goyim doing it. Right? We have no problems with goyim doing it. Right? We have no qualms, no issues with goyim doing it. Really? What's here? Really? What do you think?
You know, if it's the guy, the person had to think of, it's still a problem for the Rambam.
Oh, so because according to the Rambam, again, we're so convinced by Simchas Chazaka, that according to the Rambam, you can't do it. A goy just can't do it. Not only can he not do it when the halacha requires him to actively do it, he can't do it when the halacha asks us to put words into his mouth either. We're saying in his heart of hearts he really means to do it. Shkoich, says the Rambam. I trust you in his heart of hearts. He's a nice guy. He doesn't want to trick you up. He really truly wants to do it, but he can't do it. Why? Because he is what from the Shema? What's the blank word? He is mufka from the Shema. So if you're going to tell me that a goy just doesn't have the halachic mechanism to create lishma, what is Taisus solving? What is Taisus telling me a story that, well, it's okay, it's double lishma, therefore everything is hunky-dory. It's not hunky-dory, but chlal. The goy is the same problem. You know what's John Taisus, everybody say? If you hold that stumble lishma means you don't need the maise agavra, the act, the cheftza speaks for itself. If the Chefza speaks for itself, I don't really care that the goy can't create Lishma, because quite frankly, I don't need him to create Lishma. The Lishma is created by itself. That's what Stam Lishma means. L'chayri, that's what Tazen of Azar means. If that's the case, then I can understand the answer to your question. You said, so didn't Rabbeinu Baruch see this coming? Didn't the Rosh see this coming? So the answer is no, they didn't see it coming. You know why they didn't see it coming? Because they thought that to invoke Stam Lishma by a goy, yeah, not so poshut. That's not so poshut. Stam Lishma by a goy is not so poshut. Not so poshut at all. Maybe Stam Lishma means Maisa Gavra. I don't know, not sure.
That still helps them.
You mean that would help because you don't need to think so much?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it shows you why Rabbeinu Baruch wouldn't like this coming if you would have held like the Rambam.
Yeah.
But l'shitaso, that he already holds the world of Metzias, Stam Lishma would have sufficed. You're 100% right. I was hoping no one would cash me in that one. You're right. You're 100% right. Okay? So Rabbi Sai, you're right. Rabbeinu Baruch, you're right. You're right. But I'll call upon him when you read a Taisus in a Vedizara, and you see this Taisus, like an innocent Taisus, Tachtuin of Chavav in a Vedizara, Taisus Tekasha, what's between meal and get? Taisus, don't bother me, it's Stam Lishma. Bells should go off in your mind. What should you be thinking? What's the first name you should be thinking? Briskarov. You should be thinking about the Briskarov's Rayas. Who remembers the Rayas? Who remembers the Rayas and Briskarov? The Stamla Shmo this, Stamla Shmo that. Who remembers a wild Raya from where? From Shalom the Shmo by Chutz Eichlin on the air. Pesach Shalom Bismanoi. Remember? I told you that all these pieces of the puzzle started to come together. What you think back in that Briskarov from 2 sugyas before is going to impact about how seriously you take this Taisus in Avodah Zarah. How much you're willing to argue with the Ram? How much you're willing to argue with Rabbeinu Baruch? So Rabbi Sai, we have a running machlokes here. Machlokes Rishayim halacha lemaisa. Can ibur or be done a yedei a goy with Yisrael of Meragavov? According to those Rishayim, we'll go down the root of Metzias with the Rashi, with the Rabbeinu Baruch, with the Rash. But those Rishayim will be willing and did accept lemaisa ibur or done with the goy of Meragavov because it's such a short action. And the Rambam camp, and Tosfos probably fell into that Rambam camp, with the Reb Chaim's of Simchas Zayin, that whole Mahalach, who were very, very anti Goyim doing things which required the Shema for pure halachic reasons, will never subscribe to such a thing. Rabbi Sai, is it possible to say that this whole sugya that we've been talking about from the sugya Yeshana days of Stam Lishma, but we needed this in the first Rash, that's why we got into Stam Lishma in the first place, Sukkah Daf Testament Aleph? It's ironic. Who's the Rishon who got us onto this in the first place about Stam Lishma? Who remembers? Who's the first Rishon who got us the ball rolling about Rabbeinu what? Rabbeinu Baruch. Because Rabbeinu Baruch was the one who said that Lishma needs what?
Dibur.
And if you hold it, you need Dibur. So how does Shleishim Yom before Sukkot suffice? So we said it must be Stam Lishma. Right? It must be Stam Lishma is different than Stam Lishma doesn't even need the Maaseh Gavra, right? So it's fun to hear Rabbeinu Baruch coming back to haunt us again. So if I say, this machlekes Rishayim that we have well documented now, it's permeating Mila and Geth and Ibn Oris, is this the machlekes between who and who? Between two great Ge'onim? Machlekes who and who? When you bake matzahs? The Shultas and Rav Haigon. The Rosh Hashanah quotes machlekes Rishayim. Can you bake matzahs? The Goy does everything. The Goy is doing the deed. He's doing everything. And the Jew standing over saying, "Save the Shai Matzah's Mitzvah." It's a worker not. So Rabbi Nabar, I'm sorry, Rabbi Shulta says it's not going to work. And if Haigot says, it could be that it works. What's the issue? Between you and me, the Shiltas who says it doesn't work, that's right smack at whose camp? Which reason? The Rambam says, don't even talk to me. If Rav Haigon is willing to accept the Beit Yematzes, or at least some of the stages, Ganai De Goy, could one argue that the Beit Yematzes is not all that long? Now again, I'm not here to measure in seconds how long it takes to make Matzah to ready to get, but could one argue that the same way that the Rosh and Ben Baruch were willing to let a Goy throw something into the solution, and they were only opposed to a Goy sitting for an hour and a half and writing a get, that the Goy can't figure out, could baking a matzah psychologically be closer in terms of amount of time and effort than to the ibra or than to the ksivas again? Maybe again, it's hard for me to measure psychologically where the guy starts to go off the derech. I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer to the question is. But if you're willing to say that Rav Haigon was willing to accept the goy's baking a matzah based on Gadol Amar Agabov, notwithstanding the Gemara that says it doesn't work. Maybe Rav Haigon was looking at Gadol Amar Agabov in the limited sense like Rashi Metzias, and maybe matzah is close enough to Ibra Or, it's too far away from Gittin, it's closer to Mila, and maybe that's why Rav Haigon was night from Hakim. So this is all a possibility. It took me an hour to say a possibility of Rav Haigon. Halavai Dayenu, if we spent an hour just to give one possible being the Hilga Shita of Rav Haigon Dayenu. In the process, we learned a little bit about the Rambam and the Tosfos and Rabbeinu Baruch and the Rosh and the Milas. We had a little chazar about Stam Lishma, Biskirav. We had spoke a little about Ksivas Haget a little bit. A couple of good stories about putting on tefillin. Nice things along the way we picked up. But this is one Bia Bedas Rav Haigon. That's all. 1 hour to explain one possibility Bedas Rav Haigon. How can make matzahs like the Goy? So the answer is based on all to explain Rav Haigon Shita. It's based on Gadol in the Agabah, Yisroelam and Agabah, really not really Gadol, but Davar Katzar. So it really takes a short amount of time. Mitzias, I ain't sugi about Ibra Or. That's one beer if
I
go. I
mean, are we looking at the whole entire baking process?
I have no idea. Maybe that's all. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's all a fragment. Maybe.
This differentiation between the Katzar and the long time, so I don't understand the Katzar and Goy.
A katan, he can hold cup. He's because our children listen to everything we say. Children listen to everything that we say, don't they? Dr. Berman, come on, your father. Shaita, so it's interesting. So Taisus has a whole sugya in Gittin, whether you even take a little gaba by Shaita. That's a pasha. Taisus is a stira. In Chalitz, you don't, in Gittin, you do. Taisus has a whole sugya about that. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So you're right, Binyamin's right. Rav Haigon says, Matzah she'afon nochi with Yisrael. He doesn't say that, right? He says he throws it into the oven. He doesn't say he's needing the dough. So maybe one can argue. How long does it take to throw the bats into the oven? Who wants that? It's Mamash to keep it over.
So do you say Shmer by Misha or throwing it out, and could you say Stama Lishma also?
Well, you're asking a whole other question. Maybe you don't need Lishma altogether by Afiyah because of Stama Lishma. That's a powerful question. Post can talk about that, Kasha. That's a good Kasha. The Rush doesn't quote that. Okay, hold on. Hang in. So Rabbi say, even though it took us almost an hour to say this beer of Haigon, everything we said for the last hour was assuming one thing. What was it assuming? The Rav Haigon has to address what challenge? How to bake matzahs? What? Mishma. What am I getting at, everybody saying? Who said what? Who said you have to make matzah lishma? We know you have to make matzah lishma. Rashi said it. Rashi was born 100 years after Haigon died. Who maybe said it? Maybe the Ram was born 150 years after Haigon died. Who possibly didn't even say it? The Rambam. No? Who was the Machlekes yesterday, Shir? What the Rambam said? Did the Rambam say you needed to make matzah l'shma? Who said yeah? Who said no? What? Mishnah Chochma said what? No. And Mishnah Siavitz claimed yes. Karen Oyer said no. So we're reading the Gemara. Sachem said yes. If you assume that Rav Haigon was of the opinion that you don't have to bake matzahs l'shma, there never was a din of l'shma. What does shmura matzah mean according to the Rambam? Possibly, at least according to Karen Oira, Celeste Beshech Chochma. Shmura mechimutz. All it means is shmura mechimutz. That's all there is right anymore. There is no din of l'shma. There never was a din of l'shma. When Rav Haigon said that a goy could bake matzahs and the Jews watching, what did Rav Haigon mean? Are you endowing it with lishma, like Gemara is in Gittin Chav Gimel? No, because you can't do that. After that, the nafshik of it. What is Rav Haigon saying? You don't need lishma. What do you need? You need a mashgiach. You need a Jew to make sure you can't trust the goy to say tekam chavetz. That's ridiculous. You need a mashgiach there. The Jew is not a yisrael oimid al gabov in the sense of mesachas Gittin, in the sense of ibid or. Those are things that require active lishma. Here, you never was a din lishma. All you need is just to make sure that it didn't come with the chimutz. That's all there is right now. And therefore, forget Rabbi Baruch's and Russia's and the Tzitzit. Forget everything we said. Don't forget it, please. Forget everything we said. Today I was testing my, Blima had a chumash test today on the Aseres Nedibros. She had all the Aseres Nedibros. She wanted the Aseres Nedibros. And she couldn't remember one of the Nedibros. One of the Nedibros. She just, we'll see, Hashem, 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 this. So she finally said to me, I forgot. What do you think I said? That's the Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk of Veschana. That's the Issa Deraisa. Pentishkach HaSadvarim Sharur Einecha. But the Mishnah says, if you forget one Taisus, if you forget one answer Taisus, that's the Issa Pentishkach HaSadvarim. But if you forget the Aseres HaDivris, that's what the Pasuk means. You can't forget the Aseres HaDivris. I gave it to you. You can't forget the Aseres HaDivris. So she said, but I'm only 11 years old. She said, I'm a Kotim Shigil Onis HaDorim, but I'm not having mitzvahs yet. She didn't say that. She said, okay, you're right. Said, don't put such pressure on us. She forgot when the Aseres HaDivros. Don't put pressure. It's the Aseres HaDivros. Okay, whatever. I love when kids, when they get a little sachmel, they say, don't be jealous. That's cute. I mean, we don't need that. Sachmel is a little bit more than being jealous. Sachmel means, you know, machlokes of Rishonim, what it means. It's a little trifle more than being jealous. Okay, everybody say. Then she, but last night we were studying, so she said, "Anecha Shem Okech," and then well, yeah. So first she says, "Anecha Shem Okech," and then she says, and the next one is, you have to believe in Hashem. So I said, "No, you said that already." She said, "No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I said Anecha Shem Okech. I said you have to believe in Hashem." Like to him, because Ram and Ramban, but everyone agrees you have to believe in Hashem. Some people think it's a machlokes. Not a machlokes. The machlokes is whether the belief in the Rabbanu Shlomo is a mitzvah. Ram Katz, Mosh, one of the time, it's every day. That's a mitzvah. According to other Rishonim, it's not a mitzvah. We can't begin to discuss keeping mitzvah if you don't believe in the Rabbanu Shlomo. So there's a lot of lumdus was going on in this assignment. It was a lot of very fancy lumdus. Okay. You have to share something with that. That wasn't funny, but I'll tell you something that can't be. Okay, so basically, what are we talking about? I don't remember anymore. I totally lost it. Yeah, so Rav Haigon. What did I tell her about? What did I start with?
Don't forget.
I forgot. Oh, yeah, don't forget. Right, I forgot. Forgot what I said. Okay, forgot the jokes. So don't forget the first pshat in Rav Haigon, but I'm not so sure it's the right pshat. So maybe it's the wrong pshat. We should forget. It's the Leil of Elul, even if it's the wrong pshat. Maybe it's right. So maybe we misread the whole Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon just said, not the good Omer Agav of words. Not the Yisrael, it's really the wrong words. Really Yisrael Omer Agav of. What Rav Haigon says is, it's just a din of Shiva Michimot. And you don't need a good Omer Agav, you just need a Mashkiach. You need a rabbi. You don't need a good Omer Agav to create the Shema. And Binyamin's right. What are you right about? I said you're right about something today. Not that you're not right other days, you're right a lot of times, but. But look at the Lashon of Rav Haigon. Haigon says, Matzah shenaf afar nach lifnei Yisrael. Notice where Haigon didn't even say, because of Matzah shenafar nach lifnei Yisrael. What words did he not use? He didn't say what? Shafal lifnei Yisrael, in front of the Jew. You say God l'omid agabah. Those two terms may not be synonymous. Tosfos points out sometimes the Gemara uses God l'omid agabah. Lifnei is not the same as God l'omid agabah. Aydei shimur ketikuna muteres liYisrael la'ochla. The Jews allowed to eat it. It's mutter to eat. Wait a second. What does it mean muteres Yisrael la'ochla? He says, "Not you're allowed to eat it. Allowed to eat it, does it? Is that a dressing? Was it made with shvanat? He means you're allowed to eat it for the Leil HaSeder. He didn't say a word about that. He said, you're allowed to eat it. Means the Shmur Matzah. According to the Rambam, you're allowed to eat it. Because the Shmur Matzah. He's not even talking about, let's say, Sedei Chavasai. You know why? Because there's no unique halacha, let's say, Sedei Chavasai. It doesn't exist. So if you hold that Rabbi Haigon just meant Shmur Mechimutz, then the whole Shtickle Torah of an hour ago, last hour of Shir, it's not what Rabbi Haigon was talking about. Maybe it's right according to Ben Baruch, maybe according to Rosh, I don't know. But according to Rabbi Haigon, it's not necessary, the whole Shtickle Torah is not necessary, because you don't even need an SCS L'Shema. So that's the second beer in Rabbi Haigon. Rabbi Yisai could be called for the third beer, Rabbi Haigon. Could we have a cake and eat it? Can we really believe there's a din of Lishma and still accept the goy, but not be worried about a dayta d'nafshi to others? And mamish want hamakeket, I want everything in this world. I don't want to put Rav Haigon into the camp of the Rambam, because I'm not even sure the Rambam's in the camp of the Rambam. I'm not even sure that the Beis Chacham is right. What Karen Hoyer? I believe in my heart of hearts that Mishnas Yavetz is right. I mean, I don't see, I really believe what I'm saying. I'm playing that. But the Gemara Pesachim is correct. You do need a Lishma, even according to the Rambam. So I don't want to put the Rav Haigon into this world just here in the Chimus. On the other hand, I'm stuck. See, Yisrael Omer Agabov, Pashas doesn't work. I don't want to be Mishabit Rav Haigon to Rabbi Nebaruch in a rush that were born 200 years after Rav Haigon. He's no longer alive. I don't have any reason to, I don't have any mocha of Haigon bought into that subscription to of Yisrael Omer Agabah. But I'm just ran into a brick wall. How can I accept that you need a Lishma and somehow accept the goy and not be misyachis to the Gemara's limitation of getting up of Gimel? That's my challenge. So I want to think about that a little bit for tomorrow. For third shot, potential third shot in Rav Haigon. Okay? It's not so exciting.